Welcome to another episode of Connecting with the Toms. I'm Julie, your trauma-informed movement coach, coming to you from, it's actually not a frozen tundra anymore, coming to you from the beautiful spring temperature in Canada, Ontario, Canada.
And this is Dr. Tom coming from the ever always beautiful blue sky, no clouds, Arizona.
I love how you throw that in there. Yes, I have to say though, we have really beautiful weather today, and it's like, oh, it does. Sunshine does something to your soul. I swear to God, like it's been cloudy. We had a snowstorm last week, and then the sun comes out, and it's like, ah, oh, it's amazing. So anyway, if you are new here, we are a father-daughter duo here to share our experiences and knowledge that we've acquired over the last 70 plus years. We've been working with people, lots of people just like you, and we want to share our experiences and what we've learned through our conversations and through working with people. We want to share that with you in order to help you live your best life. So today we're going to be diving into the world of healing your gut. So a lot of people struggle with digestive issues, so we're going to take a deeper dive into that. But if you haven't been here before, or if you know us, we're going to link it to the beautiful, wonderful nervous system. But before we do, I have two things that I like to bring to the table. So some of you, if you've been following my dad or me, my closer inner circle, my dad and I are actually going to be presenting at a workshop at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, in October, and I'm really excited. It's going to be an amazing weekend in northern New York. But Dad, do you want to give him a little tidbit on what the workshop's going to be about?
So we're gonna do the component. It's Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday till 1 o'clock in Rhinebeck. It's a retreat center that I spoke at last year, and the overall topic is many of our topics are based on trauma, but there'll be a practical aspect. Sort of my component will be sort of the scientific component. And then, as we talk about that, Julie will be adding all the to-do things. So you'll be coming and won't be just listening. You'll actually be a participant. And the goal will be that when you leave the workshop, you will have tools that you will be able to utilize in your own life and your family's life and friends, etc., that will allow them to deal with, things that come up in your life, and things will always come up in your life. And so what you'll have is available tools, and it won't be like, oh, what do I have to take for this? It's more, what am I going to be able to do when I'm in this circumstance or situation? So that's sort of an overview of what we'll be talking about.
Yep, exactly. I'm super excited, and it's all, like my dad said, it's all about applying tools. So we're going to fill your tool belt with many trauma-informed ways to help support yourself between your appointments with your doctor, your coaches, your acupuncturist, whoever that you see to help support your health mentally, physically, emotionally, all of it. It's all about how to apply things for yourself. So we'll hopefully see you there in October. And if you want to learn more, I'll put information in the show notes. But if you go to, I think it's omega.org, right, Dan? The website is
Correct.
omega.org. Yep. So you can check it out there. In the meantime, today I'm going to share with you, we're going to start off this podcast with hand tracing breathing. I love, love, love this particular breath work, particularly because it's visual and you get to feel it with your hands. Your hands are extremely powerful in terms of energy. And when we actually trace your finger while we inhale and exhale, there's a way that just visually, and it kind of gives you an idea of what's going on and brings you back in the moment. And that's really what it's all about. So how this works is basically you can pick whatever hand you want and you start at the base of your thumb. And then what you're going to do is you're going to inhale your way up the finger or up the thumb, and then when you go down the valley, you're going to exhale. Okay, so then you go up, inhale up the index finger, and then exhale down. And what I want you to do is I really want you to focus on feeling. So if you can do it with your eyes closed, that's amazing, because I really want you to focus on just the feeling of your finger. Okay, tactile in the trauma world. Touch is very, very, very powerful for many of us. And so if you know your sensory hierarchy, you might be those of you that are like really like you love to work with your hands. I actually just did a post on Instagram about the emotions in the hand and ways to support yourself. So anyway, so let's get this go. I'm not going to worry about time Okay, so I'll just do mine if you want to follow my pace, but you follow your own, but really focus on you and just focus on the sensations that you have in your hand. We're going to do three times through. All right, you ready? All right, let's give it a go. So start at the base of the thumb. Go ahead and inhale up and exhale down. Inhale up and down the index finger. Up the middle finger, exhale down. Up the ring finger, and down. Up the pinky, and exhale longer. Follow the trace the outside of the hand right over the wrist back to where we started. Exhale, exhale, exhale. Now inhale back up the thumb, exhale. Inhale up and down. Inhale. Really notice on how that feels. Exhale. Inhale. And if I'm going too fast, that's okay. You can slow it down if you want. If I'm going too slow, you can speed it up. Inhale. Just notice on how it feels out that side, that pinky. All the way down, follow, feel the trace of the back of the hand back to where we started. One last time, breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Last time in, big long exhale out, and voila, there you go. Well done. How'd that one feel? So this one I personally like. It's a great one, especially I learned it when I was actually trying to find exercises to help my daughter. So with children, there's other ones like blowing at the candle. So it's a takeoff of that one. So again, so actually if you just sit with your hands, notice how the hand that you are actually like tracing, how does that hand feel compared to the other? Feel that energy. So what you've just done is you just move some energy and we just slow down your breath and we're in a parasympathetic state. So I'm going to turn it off to my dad now that you're nice and calm, and my dad can take it away and tell us about why do we get leaky guts and how can we support it? Go ahead, Dad.
Well, of course, this could be, as many of our podcasts are, they could go into in many different directions. So, you know, first of all, I guess we should just talk about what is leaky gut, you know, from the aspect of, you know, what's a leaky gut is like. In fact, we all have leaky guts, believe it or not. In fact, the most obvious leaky guts are in babies. You know, babies start off with a leaky gut. And what it means is, you know, obviously when we eat food or drink, it doesn't do us any good if it doesn't get out of the digestive system. So for all intents and purposes, you could think of the entire digestive tract, which literally starts at your lips and goes all the way through your mouth and your throat and your esophagus and your stomach and intestines, large intestines, and then basically comes out the other end. And that's like 30 feet of you know, of distance of our intestines, our entire digestive tract. So if you think it's like a garden hose that, you know, you put something in and eventually just come out the other end, that wouldn't obviously do us any good if we weren't able to absorb things through this tube that we have inside us that allows us to gather nutrition and nourish all our tissues and bodies, ourselves. So a baby, you know, what is a baby's first meal? Breast milk, hopefully. And so breast milk has large proteins. And the protein is a very big molecule, and babies, you know, wouldn't have the ability to absorb this large molecule until they've been exposed to a whole different variety of foods. So babies have this the aspect of a natural leaky gut, and then over time it starts to the pores, the openings, the whatever we want to call them, that allows food to be passed through the lining of the gastrointestinal tract once it gets past the stomach, because really that's so we have, you know, not very much that's absorbed in the stomach, because the stomach is basically producing hydrochloric acid, which is breaking down large proteins before it gets into the, you know, the rest of the small intestine, where most of the digestion occurs in general. And then it gets into the large intestine, where digestion really stops, with the exception that what gets absorbed out of the large intestine is water. Otherwise, our stool would always be just be liquid diarrhea if we didn't pull the water out of it on a constant basis. So that's what sort of solidifies the stool into sort of a, you know, a solid mass in general. So all this digestion is, for all intents and purposes, there's, you know, we can say alcohol is absorbed through the stomach lining, but not much else is in general. So if the 6-8 feet of the small intestine is where most of this absorption occurs. And this is the area that we're mostly talking about that gets into leaky gut. And so theoretically what happens is that, you know, you get these, you know, as we age and as we expose ourselves to food, and as we grow up from, you know, babies to toddlers to, you know, children to, you know, et cetera, through our life, you know, there's many things that we are exposed to, specifically foods, that irritate the lining. We get exposed to lots of bacteria, different types of parasites, different types of, you know, exposures to different types of things like that, that have the ability to cause inflammation in that particular area. We may be eating foods that are not the best for us from a food sensitivity perspective. We know that, you know, dairy foods and gluten foods are two of the more common foods that are well-known irritants for many people. Doesn't mean you're allergic to it. Just means it's an irritant to your system for a variety of things. So over a period of time, you know, you have these leaky gut. And what does it mean that you have a leaky gut? It means these large proteins that are not fully digested are actually able to pass through the lining of the small intestine. Now, once they're in the small intestine, they're out of the small intestine, where you're basically, you know, we don't have digestive enzymes in our bloodstream. We don't have digestive enzymes in our lymphatic system. So the body has to try and remove them. And it's mostly the lymphatic system that does its job, because the blood doesn't want to carry these big proteins around. And so the body will either stick them somewhere saying, I don't know what to do with that thing. I can't break it down because I don't have any more digestive juices because I passed out of the small intestine area. So now they, for all intents and purposes, if you want to think of it, can clog up lots of things, including your lymphatic system, which you've heard in many of our podcasts, is one of the ways, in addition to the cardiovascular system, that the body, the only real ways that the body is able to remove foreign substances. And whether it's a foreign protein from a food we've eaten, whether it's a foreign microbe, be it a virus, a bacteria, a fungus, a mold, whatever, you know, the body says, I don't know what that is. Let's get rid of it. And if it can't get rid of it because of other health issues, and the main health issue, of course, that we always talk about is, what is your nervous system doing? And so if the nervous system is busy dealing with some other thing that you're having to deal with, it says, I'm just going to put that aside for now. And so leaky gut, you know, we tend to think about, oh, so do these patients all have digestive symptoms? Because I have so many patients who, you know, I'll say to them, I said, you know, through our thermogram testing that I do on all our patients, and say, your digestive system really is not doing a really good job. And they said, well, I don't know what you're talking about because I have no digestive symptoms whatsoever. I don't have any reflux. I don't feel I get heartburn. I eat a meal and I feel fine. Yeah, if I eat Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, you know, yeah, I ate too much. And so, yeah, it's heavy and sits there. But generally speaking, you know, you eat a meal and hopefully you're not over consuming whatever it is that you're eating. And so the body says, oh, I can deal with that per se. So they say, I don't have heartburn. I don't have any discomfort in my digestive system. You know, I don't really get reflux. I'm not belching. I'm not having flatulence. And I have regular bowel movements once or twice a day. So I don't understand what you mean when you say that my digestive system doesn't work well. As with many symptoms in our body, depending that our nervous system will only give us an indication that we have an issue there when it has when it's focusing on that particular area. But since the nervous system is the master computer in our body and is trying to deal with whatever else is going on in your life, it may point out the fact that it's like, well, I got so many other things to deal with. I'm not going to tell you that information. So, you know, and what I've seen in clinical practice is that when other things get better, suddenly the patient says, you know, before I started seeing you and getting treated for XYZ, let's say anxiety or, you know, PMS or whatever they came for, I didn't really think I had any of the digestive problems, but now I'm having digestive problems. I said, well, you've actually had them all along. You just didn't realize that you had them because it wasn't the priority that the body was putting on it. So it's not a new symptom. It's one that's basically now coming to the surface. It's like this proverbial, the tip of the iceberg. It's always been there under the water, but you weren't paying attention. And the brain wasn't focusing on it because it felt that there was other issues that it had to deal with. So there are many patients who, you know, don't realize that they have leaky gut and they don't change anything as far as their diet is concerned because they said, I can eat anything. I could digest a rock is often what I've heard people say. You know, I could eat anything and it's really no issue. Obviously, if people are having symptoms from what it is they're eating, they are willing and able to pay a little bit more attention to that particular fact. It's like they, you know, let's say they eat ice cream or something and they, you know, they say, oh, within 30 minutes, I have diarrhea. Said, well, that's a pretty obvious that the milk is an irritant to your system. So, but not many people don't have that luxury of getting a symptom. So the assumption is out of sight, out of mind, it mustn't be a problem per se. But, you know, we've talked about the 11 organ systems. It's essential that all 11 organ systems be working together in order to put us at the place of ideally homeostasis and whatever our optimal health is in general. So from that perspective of things, you know, the people who are going to seek treatment are the people who have symptoms. My experience is with the testing that we do in the office that people are generally surprised that when I tell them that they have an issue, even though that they don't have symptoms. So I always make on every treatment protocol that we do the same suggestions, whether you have symptoms or not, because my experience is if you don't have symptoms yet, generally speaking, with the nature of the types of foods that are now available to us, even though we do the best jobs that we can to eat a whole variety of foods and eat different colors of foods and, you know, eat foods in season and eat what's local to your area, et cetera, et cetera. We know that, you know, stuff happens. Plus just, you know, the number one factor that affects our digestive system, of course, is eating under stress. So, you know, going through a drive-through, going through Tim Hortons or going to a Starbucks, you know, driving through and getting, you know, a latte and whatever else that they have at those places, and then eating it while you're driving to work or wherever you're going. You basically got calories, but you really haven't got any nutrition. And so what we're really trying to talk about is nutrition. So we have the standard rules, I say, for healthy eating. And I tell everybody the same thing, leaky gut or otherwise, and whether you're treating, once again, PMS or a chronic sinus problem or muscle aches or pains, whatever it is, the suggestions is I've always felt and had great success with recommending apple cider vinegar before meals. I'll explain why we do that. That you smell the food cooking. Think about the food that you're going to be eating. You chew extremely well. You know, the goal is 31 times. It's like, well, it's hard to chew soup 31 times. Well, I know it's obviously we're not doing that. But they, in other words, we're trying to slow down. We're trying to slow down. Slow down. You put your fork down between each bite. Yeah, you're not drinking with meals. You drink before meals, you drink after meals, but you don't drink when you're eating. You give thanks before eating. You eat in a restful, a quiet place. You're not watching television. You're not having some heavy discussion, making big decisions while you're eating. And ideally, after you eat, you just sort of sit and relax. And you know, the British have the right idea about that, because after they finish eating, you know, you get up, you go and turn the kettle on, they boil some water and they make tea. And so you drink the tea and you're just relaxing for that 10 or 15 minutes. You're not sort of drinking the tea or whatever you're drinking through the meal. You drink it after the meal and you just don't rush off and, you know, carry on your day. So that's a sort of a generic suggestion, whether you have symptoms or not. In general, we'll talk about things that, you know, can get a little more specific. But just a comment about apple cider vinegar. People always think, oh, we're using apple cider vinegar because, you know, people who have, you know, whether you have SIBO or whether you have heartburn, et cetera, the assumption is that, you know, or your gastritis for that matter, you have too much acid. But virtually all the studies have shown that in most cases of heartburn, it's actually too little acid that's available. So people think, oh, you're using apple cider vinegar to acidify the system. Now, apple cider vinegar is a very, very weak acid. It's the acid in your stomach has a pH of 1 or 2, ideally. Apple cider vinegar is probably like 6 or something, with 7.2 being what our blood is and sort of being the neutral point. Now, what we're trying to do is I'm trying to teach the body all these types of things to basically get the release of a hormone called CCK, cholecystokinin. And cholecystokinin is released when you smell the food cooking, when you slow down, when you do apple cider vinegar, et cetera, et cetera. And what that does is it tells the stomach to release hydrochloric acid. It tells the gallbladder to contract to release bile. It tells the pancreas to release pancreatic enzymes and bicarbonate. It tells the intestine, the migratory motor complex, to have a peristaltic movement. So it says there's food coming. So whatever's there, we need to push on down, you know, through the intestine. So all that stuff's happening through a single hormone affecting many different receptors. And that's what we're trying to stimulate. And so I have found that if people will consistently do apple cider vinegar, you know, ideally 3 times a day. And if, you know, you're out and about and you can actually get apple cider vinegar pills to take in this 3-month period, if you're not at home or, you know, don't have the liquid, to put in a little bit of water and drink in general. And so at the same time that you're doing that, what we're trying to do is train the brain to do it by just thinking about it. The old story that you are probably familiar with, the story with Pavlov's dogs, where Pavlov was a Russian scientist, and basically he would feed a group of dogs, and when he did, he would ring a bell. And so every time he would feed them, he would read the bell and they would start to salivate and feed them. And then it got to a point, what he would do is read the bell but didn't feed them, but they would still salivate. So in other words, we can train the brain to release CCK, knowing that food is coming, and you get all these positive things happen. So that's the ultimate goal. So once your body is trained, you actually don't need to take it. You just need to think about it. Just need to make a conscious thought. Food's coming. Oh, I smell something really. And the brain will say, ah, oh, food's coming. Let's release that CCK hormone. So that's the overview of leaky gut itself. So even if you don't have it, assume you do, follow those habits, see how you do, because surprisingly, many people say, I didn't even realize I had a problem, until they realize it's something that they didn't think was a problem is suddenly not there anymore.
All right. Well, thank you for that overview. It was amazing. Well, I mean, because I was like, oh, well, I actually had written down, let's talk about the symptoms. But like you said, I think that's the reality is some people will only address leaky gut when they have a problem. But what you're saying is that, you know, like if you have any kind of nervous system inflammation, let's say, and because all the systems are connected, your digestive system is going to be affected in some way, shape, or form because all the systems are connected. Like no system works alone. So if you have any kind of like ailment in any of your systems, you're going to have to, I don't know if assume is the right word, but just, you know, like my dad said, is just like, treat it as if there is something going on, because there probably is something going on. And when your body's like stuck in survival, like it is for many of us for a long, long time, you know, it doesn't make itself known until it has the ability and has the tools on how you can heal it. A question I had though for you in terms of energy, because you talk about like leaky gut is really about the small intestine, right? So that's really where, you know, the first line of defense, if you will, would be the small intestine. Like you're saying, like, okay, so I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to get me to start salivating and, you know, ACV, you know, you see, it's funny. I see a lot of commercials for it. And Kelly Clarkson is a big, whatever you want to call it. She promotes it and whatnot. So I'm like if you are going to do you have to consume it? First of all, do I have to consume it or can I just smell it?
Nope. You can smell it. Smelling works fine because I've had patients over the years. You know, the other thing that people often say is lemon water. They don't like apple cider vinegar.
Right.
They don't like the taste of it, et cetera, et cetera. So will lemon water work? With the same concept that we just said with apple cider vinegar, people can have the same positive effect using lemon water, but preferably it's a real lemon. It's not the concentrated thing you buy, you
jar.
Actually buy in the lemon jar that you use to put on fish and, you know, that kind of thing. But actually you're taking a fresh squeeze of lemon would be the preferred aspect, because there's an energy that's different when you consume apple cider vinegar. There's an energy when you consume a real lemon versus, you know, the concentrate that you buy in the store that is far removed from the actual lemon and the lemon tree and the earthing that came to grow that lemon from a tree, from the earth, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the closer to nature that we can consume a food, for obvious reasons, the better it is in general. Plus with apple cider vinegar, you know, we always say get the organic apple cider vinegar that still has the mother in it, with the mother being, there's an energy that's associated with that that is coming into the effect, into play also, in supporting the body's healing for what the body ultimately needs to do. So, you know, we should take that into account also.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing too is because so many of us are visual, like I actually leave mine on the counter. But I think the big thing, what you said though, is the thought. It's that you actually, like, you know, eventually what we're trying to change your belief system, right? So you're taking a minute and you're actually thinking about what you're going to consume, and you're not just shoveling it in your mouth and, you know, doing it mindlessly. Like how many of us are guilty of eating a meal in front of a screen? Like seriously, if you eat 3 to 5 meals or snacks or whatever, you're either in front of a computer, you're in front of your phone, you're in front of your TV, you're listening to something that maybe not be, you know, you're driving in a car, whatever. Like many of us are doing something else while we eat. And so I think the point of apple cider vinegar is to help ground you, like, you know, ground air quotes, is to help bring you in the moment really at the end of the day. So if you need something acidic to kind of, it's like snap. Same thing. Snapping your fingers helps you shift like that. So I could do the same thing. When every time I snap my fingers, I'm going to prepare myself to eat. Boom. Done. Right? It's the same thing with, that's how we shift the nervous system. It's how we can help shift people, you know, in different ways. So whatever trigger, if you will, you're going to use. It's like those people, I was talking about this with my inner circle, people who experience a lot of anxiety. It's been suggested that they actually, if you don't know when you're going to be triggered, because you know you're going to be triggered, is Sour Patch Kids. So this is what I'm hearing therapists is like, keep you know, a little thing of Sour Patch Kids, because when you put something sour in your mouth, it literally shifts, it does something to you chemically to shift you away from what you're experiencing. So if you're somebody with anxiety, here, try. So I started buying Sour Patch Gum. for my daughter because she struggles with anxiety, and we've been using it. It's funny because I gave it to my son. He doesn't really, he's more like, he's the more the hyperactive kid. It's like I have polar opposite twins, seriously. Anyway, I gave it to the more hyperactive kid, and he's like, "Mom, my mouth is crying." It was the funniest thing. And I was like, "Oh," because his face and just his eyes, and he's like, "Oh, yeah." And he's like, "My mouth is crying, Mom." I'm like, "Well, that did what it was supposed to do." So, anyway, I think I'm getting away from what we were talking about, but essentially what I'm hearing you say is that the apple cider vinegar helps bring you in the moment of I'm going to be consuming food right now, right? Because you said there's a whole bunch of habits. Absolutely. Like, how many people sit down and chew 31 times? Like, seriously. Like, and it's funny because I've said it to my kids enough that they're like, "Mom, you didn't chew 31 times." Like, dude, you got me. Yeah, I don't, because I'm not eating mindfully. And that's where, like, that's why sitting down and having a meal with a family is so important, because you slow down, because you're having conversations. You're not just shoveling it in your mouth, right? And so these are the powerful things of, like my dad said, it's really about slowing down. So if you're going to slow down, you're going to support your nervous system. But we know your life is busy. We know you're multitasking. We know this is how you've survived. So it will take some time. So use the something sour to help shift you. Wait, this is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
So the other, yes, absolutely. And so the other aspect of that that I think is important, you've heard us talk ad nauseum about parasympathetic, the rest and relax and heal. The sympathetic is the flight fright. And so if you're eating and if you're in a sympathetic state and eating, what you're because of the hormones that are released during sympathetic dominance, it actually inhibits the release of these digestive enzymes, hydrochloric acid, etc. It's only when you're in a parasympathetic state that you actually get these to release. So, for all intents and purposes, everything that I just said about sort of the hygiene, I'll call it food hygiene, is about getting you into this parasympathetic place. So, just think about if you're going to eat something at a drive-through. You're actually driving. Do you think you're in parasympathetic when you're driving, when you have to stop at a red light and somebody cuts you off, or a kid's playing on the street and the ball rolls into the street or the dog runs into a street? You're immediately, that's like you're basically just put yourself into an acute stress situation, which means you've totally shut off and will continue to shut off any digestive ability. So, as Julie just said, eat in a quiet place, conversation. It's a much preferred way versus any type of screen time or any type of outside EMF influence is critical. And so, the topic is leaky gut. And so that's once we do that, I can assure you have done a major component moving forward as far as healing. So, of course, but the if you have symptoms, we're going to need to do something to try and support your symptoms because it's we can't just snap your fingers or say, well, do these things we just said and your leaky gut is going to heal.
Voila,
So there
magic.
are proper, yeah, there are nutrients that have been shown to be particularly helpful to help heal an irritation, inflammation that's going on in your gastrointestinal tract. So, I mean, probiotics, which are sort of have been are a common suggestion, in our patient population is something that's actually very healthy to be doing. And if you're not taking them, then you should be eating a fermented food on a regular basis, whether it's sauerkraut or whether it's kimchi or whether it's miso soup or something that's fermented is desired in the diet. And generally, people have moved away from that on a regular basis, but obviously, probiotics are available. From a supplement perspective, and their importance is not just from a leaky gut perspective, but they have a huge immune support component that's associated with probiotics, where we're stimulating something in your small intestine called Peyer's patches, which are responsible for a huge part of the responsibility for immune support. So probiotics have a huge immune action. And one of many reasons why they are pretty helpful on an everyday basis. Glutamine is a substance that is often taken from a supplement perspective, it's used for many things. It's very healing for the digestive tract in general. Deglycerinated licorice is something that's commonly taken as a supplement. Once again, it all depends on your symptoms. It all depends on your conversation that you have with your doctor, your therapist, whomever, that basically can help pinpoint the things that potentially there are certainly a number of pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals available from health food stores or from professional companies that are geared towards have a variety of herbs in them, you know, in them from the aspect the slippery elm is something that has been used historically forever in the form of a slur. You can make it like sort of oatmeal or porridge and just eat it as a very ooh, it's very mucilaginous, it's very soothing, it's very healing to the lining of the GI tract. And that's what we're trying to do. And at the same time we're doing that, you know, we've talked about the five primary among trees. You, in order to, you know, allow the body to get rid of any of these large proteins that have somehow leaked through this leaky gut, we have to try and do our best to mobilize them to get them out, because we don't want them hanging around. So, you know, we go back to basic treatment guidelines again, per se, because they are ultimately how you're going to be able to restore your entire 30 feet of digestive tract back into a place that it's, I'll call it a semi-permeable membrane, as opposed to a porous or very, you know, very open membrane. You know, it's more selective. So large proteins get broken down before they ultimately absorb farther down within the small intestine. And at that point, they don't create problems that we see so routinely in our patient population.
Just to add on to that, I'm not even going to add on. I'm going to divert a different direction a little bit, just because, again, I started talking about energy a while ago and I got sidetracked. Surprise, surprise. But something that I do want to, another thing, instead of just like, what are things that I can do in terms of like supplements and food, let's actually address the emotions that potentially get blocked in your small and large intestine. So if we explore the Eastern Chinese body clock, the small intestine heals between 1 and 3 p.m. And since that's the first place after the stomach that it goes. So something that you may want to consider, if you do have symptoms, even if you don't, the emotions that tend to get stuck here are vulnerability, forgetfulness, feeling deprived, feeling numb, and denial, numbness and denial. So if those are emotions that, you know, like, yeah, that kind of resonates with me. Or if you struggle between 1 and 3 p.m., then, you know, like if you can't eat really at that time, or if you eat foods and you're like, oh, my stomach hurts afterwards or whatever, it could also be an energetic emotional imbalance. So the flip side on the large intestine is between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. And I resonate with these ones, these emotions that tend to get stuck, because for various reasons, but I'll just list them off. So it could be perfectionism, discouragement, self-hatred, yearning, and obligation are the emotions that tend to get stuck in this part of your body. So along with the supplementation, along with the teas, along with the foods that you want to do to support your leaky gut, something that you may want to explore if you do have gut issues, there's most likely a trapped emotion, and it could be one of the ones I listed off. So something that you want to be able to, there are ways for you to identify it, and that's part of the stuff that I do with my coaching. But there, if there's one that jumps out at you, then you're like, okay, that perfectionism, that lands for me. And oftentimes for me, my digestive stuff, you know, the stomach issues between 5 and 7 a.m., that's, you know, it kind of lands. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there. But one question I have for you, Dad, is how do you know your gut is healing?
That's a great question, especially if you're one who does not have symptoms, apparent symptoms in the digestive tract. But remember that, from a biological medicine perspective, you know, all health problems supposedly begin in the gut. And if you want to back up further, they begin in the nervous system. So it's invariable. It's invariably that as your digestive system improves, whatever other reason you started to see your physician about will also be getting better. for whatever they're doing, even if they think they're not directly treating your digestive system. So you already know, as we've talked about previously, that if you have a skin issue, whether it's too dry, too wet, too oily, a rash, things flare up, they come and go. In general, invariably, we can say, oh, there's something probably happening within the digestive system, and things are not being totally or properly digested fully. So the best way of knowing if you're focusing on, and the focus, if you're not having symptoms, is what we started the conversation with, but just do the basic food hygiene stuff while you're working on whatever else your doctor is helping you with in general. Obviously, if you have symptoms, your symptoms will start to improve considerably. So those who don't have symptoms, what you're going to look at is you're going to look at your other symptoms. Is my sleep better? Is my energy better? Is my mood better? Is my menstrual cycle, more regular or less challenging for what's going on? That itchy spot in my skin that I used to always have. Oh, my skin doesn't itch anymore. My breathing is better. I have better stamina. I used to be able to do XYZ exercise and would be, worn out by the end of it. Then I'd only do it twice a week. Now I can do it three times a week and I'm not as worn out. So you're going to look at the corollary, the other organ systems that, in an indirect way, are contributed to by a less than ideal digestive system. And I'll be honest, it's a rare patient that I see. Mind you, my patients are coming not necessarily for just wellness. They're coming because they have some challenges, because most of them are, I'll say, over 50 years of age, which is typical of people who go to the doctor. The primary group of people going to a doctor are women, 70% of them. And age-wise, they're over 45, 50 years of age or so. The men will show up later on. Typically over 50 is very typical for a man to say, oh, something's not working right. Women have a menstrual cycle, and when it gets thrown off for 3 months, they say, uh-oh, something's happened. I should have it checked out. So they're much more proactive that way, that they're trying to figure out something. A man, typically, if they're not that astute at paying attention to their day-to-day, other than maybe my energy isn't as good, or my sleep isn't, whatever. That's what they're ultimately looking at. So you have to look at either within the digestive system if you have symptoms, or all the other types of things on the outside, on any of the other organ systems. Before we started recording this, you mentioned one of your clients who couldn't take a deep breath, didn't know how to breathe. And it's quite surprising when you're doing these breathing exercises that we've done the last few now, at the preceding aspect of our podcast. I was surprised how many people have a really hard time breathing. They do not know how to breathe deeply. They do not know, the rate at which they should be breathing, in general. So just why we encourage you to, be practicing taking deep breaths on a regular basis, because that's probably one of the best parasympathetic activities that you can do anywhere, anytime. Takes no investment other than your own time. And if you're sitting at a stoplight, if you're standing in the bank, if you're standing at the grocery store, if you're in a concert, whatever, when there's a break, the perfect opportunity, the perfect time, ultimately, to be able to, to do that type of thing on a regular basis. Parasympathetic, leaky gut, one and the same, more or less, because leaky gut is most commonly going to be underlying or overlaying a person who has a tendency for sympathetic dominance in the other areas of their life. And so we are doing supportive things for the digestive tract, but at the same time, we're also doing things for their nervous system, because that's what's underlying the whole circumstance and situation that's going on, as far as the leaky gut is concerned.
Right. So, yeah. So basically, if you have a digestive thing going on, you have a nervous system thing, and they, you know, they go together. Something that I did want to mention that I actually read somewhere a long time ago. There are 5 R's to healing a leaky gut. But like, just to reiterate what you're saying, like, how do you know I'm healing? Well, your mental clarity, you know, your symptoms start to lessen. But really, if you are someone that tracks, we've talked about HRV, you're going to see your HRV increase. That's going to be a really good sign. And because for a lot of us that are tracking it, the device will tell you if you're more in a parasympathetic or sympathetic state. So you're going to see that average actually start to go up for you if you are healing your gut. But something, the 5 R's to healing a leaky gut, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't know if you've heard of this, Dad, before, but this is something that I've used with clients to help kind of like, okay, what's first, you know, and you can look at this for healing any system, I believe. But the first step when we're looking to heal a leaky gut or a stressed out nervous system is to remove the stressors that are damaging your body, that are, you know, like if you're looking at in your nervous system, what are the stressors? Let's identify, you know, first in my rule, my game, in my world, first rule of healing club is awareness. So what are we going to remove? Like, what are we aware of that we can remove the stressors that damage the environment? So particularly if you're talking about leaky gut that are damaging your gastrointestinal tract. Number two, second step would be to replace. So what are things that you can replace? What's going on, like replacing agents for digestive support, or how can I replace things that are stressing up my nervous system? I'm going to just talk about nervous system or digestive system in that respect. Number three is reinoculate with friendly bacteria, would be for your gut, or reinoculate. How can I reinoculate my nervous system to start healing, firing, you know, the what is it? Neurons that wire together, fire together. That's it. So what we're trying to do is reinoculate and trying to get more neurons. Like they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's a bunch of hooey. And we know that in the neurology, neurolog, neuro, neuro, oh my gosh, I can't talk. In the
Neurological.
neurological, I'm like,
Neurological.
it's not good when you can't talk on a podcast, let me just say. But anyway, trying to find my words. But reinoculate a friendly, you know, like a friendly nervous system and friendliness into the system. Number four would be repair. What are you doing to repair the damage that has been done? So how are you slowing down basically in the nervous system? How are you doing? Are you chewing your food? Are you doing the ACV? All that kind of stuff. And the last one is rebalance. So different ways to create, you know, how are you going to change your habit? How are you going to approach food? We want to rebalance it. So anyway, so what you want to do is be able to rebalance your life. And so that's really about changing habits that align with what type of life you want to live for. So I just want to put that out there. So if you are looking to heal your gut or your nervous system, the thinking of the 5 R's can be a simple way for you to be like, okay, what step am I on in this healing process? Right. So a lot of people are very, you know, like I need like that A type personality. If you've been living in survival, you're like, give me the plan. All right. I just laid it out for you. 5 R's. Remove, replace, reinoculate, repair, and rebalance. That's how we do it. And my dad just listed off how you can do it. And so, you know, when we're looking at, you know, replace, you know, where does the energy part of it? So it's not just about doing, because we are beings. It's not about, you know, like what can I let go of? What can I remove? I can remove some emotions and I can replace them with joy and positive emotions. So I like to think of it that way. That's kind of where I'm at in my life, but anyway, so Dad, do you have anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, that's good that you added that, because that's sort of the standard aspect that if you've seen a physician specifically, that's probably the program that they have shared with you. So that was a great reminder, you know, of the types of things that are necessary. And it is definitely true that you have to start by removing, and whether it's a food that you're eating, whether it's something you're drinking, whether it's a supplement you're taking, a medication that you're taking, if there's something that's a chronic irritant, then it doesn't make sense to try and keep doing it, thinking that the body can somehow overcome it. So the 5 R's is sort of the knee jerk X that what's happening. And almost in each of those, from our perspective, it's always going to come back to what are you doing for your nervous system? And what are you doing for your nervous system? And what else are you doing for your nervous system? Because that's really the underpinning, that's really the aspect that is the most likely what is creating the greatest distress and within your digestive system.
Absolutely. And so, you know, a lot of us don't know how to get started. Like, we don't know how to start this process, right? So we talk about the basic treatment guidelines, and you know, sometimes it the hardest part of healing sometimes is taking the first step, is making that. I'm like, you're taking the first step. You're listening to this podcast. You wouldn't actually be here if you weren't taking steps towards that, which is amazing. And so, you know, hopefully in our conversation today, we may have dropped a little something something for you to like think twice about. You're like, oh, I can do that to support myself. Or what's the underlying thing? What are we saying? Like, what are we really like? What's the thing that you've probably heard a bajillion times, but just it didn't land? But today it did. And I'm hoping it's something to do with how can I support my nervous system a little bit better and calm the flames and like remove that inflammation that I've been experiencing, particularly in my gut for this podcast. So
Great, well said, and it's definitely true. And you got to start somewhere. I mean, you start with one thing. Even one thing can get the ball rolling and make a massive difference in what it is that you're experiencing as far as your digestive system is concerned. And then behind that will be your nervous system, because invariably they are very interconnected. How the nervous system allows you to digest food is a pretty phenomenal activity. So support it, talk to it, be nice to it, do your best to stay in parasympathetic place away from the that is promoting the release of all these digestive aids, as opposed to the other side of the fence, the sympathetic dominance that is actually inhibiting your body's ability to heal itself.
If you are looking for a program, I'm just going to put it out there. If you are looking for a program that can help you put you in a parasympathetic state and experience it for yourself, I actually have a program called Restoring Balance, and it's trauma-informed movement, but I offer over 30 different movement routines that take less than 10 minutes a day to help expose you to different types of movement that can help you feel and move you into a parasympathetic state. So I have some different breathing stuff. I have lymphatic work. I have myofascial things in there. I have meditations in there. So I have vagus nerve exercises. So it's kind of if you're like, I don't know where to start and I need a program to follow, I've created this for you to help get the ball rolling so that you're like, okay, I'm just going to focus on my food. That's fantastic. That's whatever. But if you want to do movement based parasympathetic snacks, and you know, this could be a great entry. If you're interested in coming to the workshop in October with us, I'll be sharing some of this stuff. And so, you know, like you can expose and you get used to the world that I've been living and experiencing for the last 25 years of how to move in ways that support my body and not stress out my body, because that's what ends up happening for a lot of people is that, you know, they go work out really hard and then their stomach hurts. I'm like, too much stress. Like your dad said, it's like you feel things in your gut. Your gut is your second brain. It's like there's a whole chemical thing happening. Yeah, absolutely. But too much stress. If we stress it out, even if we're doing something good, you can stress it out. So I've, like I said, I put something together. It's on my website if you want to learn more about it. But I just want to put that out there. If you're like, I want to do something about my gut, but I don't necessarily want to, like, I'm eating well. It's fine. Okay, let's move. Let's move your body. I'm going to move your energy. I'm going to move your lymph. I'm going to move your fascia. I'm going to move your breath. It's fun. Yeah, come move with me. It's all good. So, anyway, so, Dad, is there anything else that you want to add?
I don't think so. I think on this particular topic, I really hope people go away and said, oh, it's not that I have to take product XYZ. It's
Right.
those are definitely helpful. I'm not gonna dismiss that. And they are helpful to get ahead of it, but to prevent it from coming back once you have restored it, it's to adopt some of the types of things that we've been talking about today, because ultimately these are the types of things that they will it will go away with some of the treatments, but it'll also come back if you stop doing them. So the lifestyle stuff, the nervous system stuff is the much preferred approach as to, wow, do I have to keep taking this product X for the rest of my life? Hopefully not,
No.
because that's not a sign of health. That's a sign of imbalance itself. If you're having to do that on an ongoing basis. So that would be my closing statement.
All right. Well said. Well said. And so, well, to kind of take the nervous system to another level, another ailment that a lot of people are struggling with, adrenal fatigue. We're going to be talking about that in our next podcast because, yeah, I think it's something very popular. It's something that I actually struggled with in my 20s. I was like, how does a 20-year-old get adrenal fatigue? Like, well, I can tell you, she swims. And goes to school and does a lot of stuff and puts a lot of pressure on herself. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about adrenal fatigue in our next podcast. So we always appreciate you. So thank you for listening. And hopefully you enjoyed this one. And please share it with anybody that, you know, that may be struggling with leaky gut. Maybe there's something that they haven't heard about, or maybe they have. And, you know, they've been inspired to change something with their nervous system. So thanks for being here for us. And we look forward to chatting with you next time about adrenal fatigue.
We'll talk again.
We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your health and energy. And if this is your first time listening, we truly appreciate you being here and would love to have your support by subscribing to our channel. We also love hearing from you, so please connect with us and share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. If you're interested in learning more about biological medicine or trauma-informed movement, check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.